Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the post-match podcast, Liverpool 2, Genk 1 in the Champions League on a night that saw the mighty Reds top their group after Napoli and Salzburg drew. First up, it is the match reaction.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. Liverpool 2, Genk. Doesn't matter. We'll never have to play them again. 1. Look, far from a vintage Liverpool performance tonight, but a Liverpool performance that did the job that we required of it. For me, it ended up being nothing more than a glorified sparring match ahead of the Man City game at the weekend, which is where all the focus had to be. And in that regard, I think we played it well. I think, look, we showed there's a massive gap between where Liverpool are and where Genk are. I think everyone knows that. Doesn't need me to say that. I don't think it's disrespectful to say that. I think they put up a really good fight to go. I don't think they rolled over and had their bellies tickled. I thought they were resolute. I thought they went forward to the best of their ability. But I think you can see with the tempo and Liverpool in the first half. We got the first goal and we were strolling around. We were knocking it around. We were comfortable to be in possession. We were happy to play the game out. And that was actually probably to our detriment, to be fair, because as much as that might pay dividends come the weekend where you've got a little bit more in your legs, I think if we pushed a little harder, we could have killed it off. And we were guilty of a bit of sloppy or selfish play in the final third. I think in particular, Mohamed Salah, I thought, was really, really poor all over on the night, particularly in the first half. I thought he improved significantly, moved to centre-forward, which is clearly where he wants to be all game long. Everything he was doing in the first half, every time Ox vacated that position, he shuffled towards it like, come on, please, let me have a go. I think he's desperate for a goal, and I actually think that had a bit more of a negative impact on his game than perhaps it should have done. But so be it. I think the absolute standout performer, one of them certainly for me, was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, plays in the false nine in the first half, and I thought he was outstanding. To be honest, I never considered it. When I saw the lineup, I never thought for a second. I thought you might see him from the right, you might see him from the left, you might see him in the midfield three, but I never thought he'd play centre forward. I thought he did a very, very good job indeed. Direct running, quick link in the play, very, very fluid. He allowed our front three to be at times. I thought Divock put a good shift in as well. Faded a little bit in the second half, but when he was moved to the right again, I thought he was good on the left. And I thought when he moved to the right, I thought he caused so many problems. He played it more like a winger than I had probably expected Divock to do that. I was very impressed with him. Naby Keita, another interesting performance, because I think he faded fitness wise big time in the second half, which is why ultimately he gets withdrawn. But you can see there's something there. I don't think it was an exceptional performance. I'm not going to go that was the Keita performance that's going to be the one that defines the player he's going to be for Liverpool, but I was encouraged by what the shift that he put in. But Gini was really good, but the defence were fine. I think sloppiness kind of cost us once or twice, made that game more nervy than it had to be. But as far as I'm concerned, you got to put 70 minutes back into the legs of Andy Robertson. You got to put the same in a positive sense to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, to Naby Keita. So you've got your impact players already. You've got loads of your first teamers. A big rest for Bobby Firmino, big rest for Sadio Mane, big rest for a couple of the midfielders as well. I think that's perfect preparation for the weekend game in terms of having players available, having players fit, but also having probably a little bit to improve and a little bit of a kick up the arse as well at times. Klopp won't have been happy, I don't think, full told with that performance, maybe publicly, but I think behind closed doors he'll have demanded more. That game should have been 3-4 whatever, but you look at it, the result for Napoli means that Liverpool go top of the group, and after these back to back fixtures against Genk, that's exactly where we want to be. So as far as I'm concerned, mission accomplished. Not exactly how I would have liked to have done, but top of the group in the best possible form of fitness with Man City at the weekend. Perfect, as far as I'm concerned.
There you go, there's that. Now we've got Chris Pajak running amok with the player ratings.
Liverpool have just beaten Genk by 2-1. I'll do the goalkeeper. Gini Wijnaldum! Gini Wijnaldum! Gini Wijnaldum! Alisson, couldn't do anything wrong for their goal. came out and won the ball loads of times, played like a sweeper keeper, just exactly what you'd expect from Alisson. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10. Move on to Trent Alexander-Arnold. What would you give Trent out of 10, mate?
I'd say 8 out of 10, because like he did get some good balls into the box. He was tracking back. He was doing his job, so...
Yeah, that ball, was it to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain where he just sort of drove it across the field? I mean, there was puddles around me. Just everyone was just wet. It was mad. Yeah, maybe one for the older people. on to the centre-halves then. Virgil van Dijk, what did you make of him today, mate?
He's outstanding, wasn't he? Let's be honest. Like, he's a number four.
Watch him defend, and we watch him score. He'll pass the ball, come as you like. He's Virgil van Dijk. He's Virgil van Dijk.
Let's be honest. Can you name a better centre-half than Virgil van Dijk?
No.
Like, it's hard, isn't it? Because at the moment, he's just playing outstanding. And you watch the game today, which he's just so influential on the whole team. He just provides that, like, that calmness throughout the whole team, especially in a game today where you need it. Looking at City on Sunday, you just need that relaxed, calm attitude throughout the whole game. So he's done his job today. You look at, like, the likes of Milner. They're instrumental in the whole game. The young lads who are coming in, like Oxlade-Chamberlain, people like Naby Keita, they're on the fringes of the game. But at the same time, you need those influential players at the back that are going to calm everyone else out, make sure everyone else is playing that influential part in it. So that's what we need. And to be honest, I can't really fault the performance, let's be honest. Like, I mean, the corner, I didn't really see it. I was at the other end, so I didn't really see the whoever it was who lost the man. But other than that, it's a faultless performance from Virgil van Dijk, isn't it?
Absolutely. On to his centre-back partner. Who wants to do Joe Gomez rating with us? You want to do Joe Gomez with us? Yeah. What did you make of Joe Gomez, mate?
This is the thing. I love Joe Gomez, but you could see he's got injured late last season and he struggled to make it back into form. But I think today, even though he did make a few silly mistakes, made a few passes that didn't really string up our attack as you'd expect from our centre halves, he made some really, you know, key moments. I don't know, is every time he got the ball, you felt like a little atmosphere because you always knew that he has the ability to run on the ball, just like Matip does, and he'll get the ball and he's not scared to run 15, you know, 10, 15, 20 yards and give a pass in the final third. So, you know, that's exactly what you need in our defence, and that's exactly what we do that makes our defence so good, is that not only we're the best defence in the league, we can also get the ball and create. And that was absolutely phenomenal what we saw today from Gomez. You know, there was, a few bad passes, but it was that fight. He gave the ball away and ran like a madman until he got it back. And that's exactly what you want to see from a red. You wear this shirt and you don't wear it because it's any other club. You wear it because it's fucking Liverpool.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not playing for the name on the back. You're playing for the badge on the front. That thing there. That's what it all matters. So what did we give him out of 10?
I'll give him a solid 7. I've got to go for 7.
Is there 7 right with everyone?
7.
7. 7. 7. Higher or lower than a 7?
Hey, 7.
Okay, left back James Milner. Who shouted that? Who shouted the 6 there? Come on. Damn. What's going on there? Why are you giving James a 6, lad?
I love James Milner, but I don't know. He was just an average James Milner.
So you don't know, you're just throwing a number out there.
He gave the ball away once, but
he did. And it wasn't his best performance, though, was it? I think we expect a lot from James Milner, and we probably didn't see everything. And, you know, there was a lad behind me who was particularly unimpressed with his performance, shall we say, and I badly wanted Milner to score just for that. Like, and he's like, oh, he's so fucking slow, and he just cuts inside on his right foot, and fucking this. I'm like, fucking shut the fuck up, will you? You do me fucking head in. But look, he didn't...
When he went in midfield, I think it was a bit better, because, like, obviously he's not a left back, but he does a good job, and that's why I love him, Jimmy Milner.
Jimmy Milner, there you go. He loves him, but he's only given him a 6. He's a harsh critic. So, onto the midfield then. Fabinho, best DM in the world. Can I come to you? Absolutely. What are you giving Fabinho out of 10, lad?
Solid 8. And then again, every game he plays is unbelievable. Like, he's all over the place. Literally controls, makes forward runs, covers the back, everything. It's unbelievable.
No, I agree with that. I think, you know, for me, I mean, I talk about Fabinho all the time. I think, you know, when we signed him, it's not very often that I'm right on players when we signed them. Fabinho was one of those players where I said, I think he'll change the way that Liverpool play it. And I think he has, to be honest with you. I think he's so good. He's so reliable. And he's so good at breaking up the play and, you know, making sure that they can't get out from the back. That's the important thing with Fabinho. We push up so high, the ball just seems to fall to him every single time. And then we start again. Onto his midfield partners then. Gini Wijnaldum obviously gets the goal today. What are we giving Wijnaldum?
10. I'd give him a 9 out of 10, to be honest with you. I know the performance wasn't that great, but he was all over the park, I think. He was leaving Ox free himself up a bit more to get into that forward position, but he tracked back so well. A couple of times that he won the ball, I was like, oh my God. He was helping, like Fabinho, as he said, he wasn't on his greatest game, but he was solid. And because Wijnaldum kept coming back and covering for him and winning the ball back, it made it a little bit easier on Fabinho. So it freed up the lads up the left and right. I know Milner didn't have the strongest game either, but, you know, I mean, how many games can he play more a season, you know, as he goes on? But he's there for the Champions League games.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, the one thing with Gini today is we saw him getting into the box loads more than normal. He obviously gets the goal, yeah. But even second half, you know, I was stood in the cop and you saw him playing those 1-2s with Mo Salah, but also doing the tracking back. A bit more of maybe that Dutch Gini Wijnaldum that we've seen on the telly so often. Alongside them, Naby Keita. For me, first half, flashes of brilliance, absolute flashes of brilliance, but not enough flashes of brilliance from Naby. And I think that's what we're looking forward to seeing as Liverpool fans now, isn't it? We know the level that he can reach, and we just want to see him start to reach that level consistently, I suppose. Because I think everybody knows that he's an absolute talent, and you want to see him grab a game by the scruff of the neck and really force his will on the game. I'm not sure he did that today, but I think he had a solid game, maybe a 7 out of 10. Is that fair, 7 out of 10 for Naby? Okay. On to the right wing. Mo Salah, I mean, it's so straight. So I've had a poor shout, I've had a solid shout over there, and everyone's sort of shaking their heads. Paul's giving me the wanker sound. I'm not sure if that's for Mo or me. It's what he affectionately calls me most of the time. So I'm a little confused there. I think that's a bit harsh, Paul, to be honest with you. I don't think he is a wanker.
We'll talk. No, you are. We'll talk about this on the instant match, but I thought he was terrible first half. I think he's trying too hard. I think you can see from it. And out wide, he was constantly trying to engineer a situation where he's the guy. I described him, it's a weird analogy, but that's me, isn't it? He's a full stop to Liverpool's moves. Like, Mane's a comma, Firmino's a comma. You can carry on a move. When it comes to Salah, it has to be him that takes the shot. And like, that's the thing that makes him a great centre-forward. And he was much better playing in the middle in the second half. But that desperation to be the guy who sticks the ball in the back of the net, I think, hampered his performance.
No, that's fair. Great assist for the goal. What are you saying about that full stop? What are you saying for the full stop there? Was that a comma? Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
100. 9. 100. 9. 10. 10.
Oh, hello, mate. Come over here, lad. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. What are you giving him? You giving him a 10?
10, yeah.
Why?
Ox, best midfielder. He ran the midfield today. He was in every position. He was in the right position at the right time, and every time. Maybe they sat back once or twice, but he'd drive. And now what we're lacking, Naby does it, but Gini and Milner, they just sit there. And that what we're lacking, someone that'll open the game, that'll drive forward and look for the forward pass. And he's great.
And he gets that goal again, doesn't he? He just loves scoring. Is it 5-4 now for him? Yeah, it's madness. It's madness. I mean, and this isn't even a player that's playing at his absolute best yet, who's fully integrated into the side yet. I can't wait to see Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain start and score a hat-trick against City at the weekend, to be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to that. And then Divock Origi played left-hand side to begin with, played right-hand side. I thought he was really good today. Yeah, I think 8 out of 10 is probably a fair assessment of him. What was that?
He played good,
Origi. He had a great first half. Second half, bit touchy, but I think he had a great first half, Origi. I think he's a great player for Liverpool, to be honest, and I think he's got a lot more to come.
Absolutely. There you go. On to the substitutes then. We got Robertson.
Yeah.
10.
He just did what he was asked to do.
Did he? Okay.
He came on, and I think he did really well with Mane down the wing. I just think
Klopp probably said to him, just keep it calm, don't be making so many overlapping runs. And I just think he just came on and he just kept it cool. He didn't lose the ball at all, I think. And I think he just did the job that he was asked to do.
Yeah, no, that's true, isn't it? I think 10's maybe a little bit of a stretch for coming on and just not really doing anything wrong. I'll go 7. 10. We'll go 10. He's right. Fuck it. It's Andy Robertson. Let's just give him a 10. Mane? 7? 7 for Mane? Didn't do much. Yeah, I think that's about right. And Firmino? 10? 10? Like, there's probably 30 people here and they've all said 10. So it's 10.
Fantastic work as always from Mr. Pajak. Next up, it is Chris and I having a little bit more of an in-depth discussion on that match from the instant match reaction. On your match reaction, you described it as a bit of a weird game, a weird feeling. We've had a week or so, a few weeks now, of truly dramatic football matches, going down, clawing goals back, last-minute penalties, last-minute winners, limbs everywhere.
I was really enjoying that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, we all walk out of them games going, shortening my life. No, we also said, that's living. This is, the performance we've just seen tonight, there was a golfing class between Liverpool and Genk today.
Do you know what that is, Paul? That's living for the weekend, in more ways than one. That's what we were doing right there. That's what the team were doing. They were living for Manchester City at the weekend. And I think they were conserving energy. I said that on my match reaction and stuff. And I think there's reasons why we weren't at our absolute best. But there were moments where we were really good. And we were playing with a front three there that has never played together before. Yep. That was playing in... Did you think Ox was in the nine?
False nine.
First half, anyway.
First half, he basically played... Yeah,
and he played it brilliantly. Yeah, and he was linking up play with Origi. He was linking up play with Salah and Wijnaldum coming from deep, Naby Keita. And we looked brilliant at times. But I don't know, we were just a bit lax or something, maybe?
Yeah, I honestly, there was a point, and it was about half an hour into the game, and I sat in the upper Kenny, sat next to my dad, and I said, we're miles better than these. And we were just stroking the ball around. We were keeping possession. We weren't forcing it, but we were also, when we wanted to speed it up, we sped it up. We created chances in that half. You know, more than enough to be comfortable, I think, all told. But there was that... It's football. And you can see, and I've always said this all season long, how Liverpool are most likely to concede a goal is going to be a random one or a dodgy refereeing decision or whatever. And it's a good corner routine. I couldn't tell you the ins and outs of it, but obviously the guy wins it at the near post, sticks it in the top bin. Fine, sound. And I think it probably actually helped Liverpool a little bit because it gave us a bit more impetus to go a bit harder. I think it makes us make the change in the second half into the front three in particular. But it wasn't complacent. It was just class. And what we probably lacked is a bit of cutting edge, and I mentioned it on the player ratings. I think Salah influences that a bit. There's a couple of moments, I think, where he's just got to
pass.
He's just got to square the ball. He's got to get us 2-0 up, and then he can worry about getting his goal. Because if we go 2-0 up in that, I think we win it 5-0. But when you don't get that second goal, and they go 1-0, changes.
I didn't say my thoughts on Salah in the player ratings, but I can see it from that point of view, certainly. But there's another point of view, I think, that when you realise that every time he lost the ball, how many players were around him?
Oh, yeah.
2 or 3 players. So he's trying to make something happen. And the reason that there might be someone in space is because he's got 3 guys around him. And I think, that, you know, the one that I remember most was probably right towards the end of the game. It's right in front of your normal seat in the cop, just by the post. And he's dinking and he's diving and he's trying to get through. And you can see someone, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Mane, probably back stick or something. And you just like, can you get the ball to him? I'm not sure he actually could have got the ball to him. But there were opportunities, as you say, during the game where someone was available and he should have played the pass. But it wasn't to say that he didn't play the pass a lot. I think he's struggling for confidence.
There we go. That was the post-match podcast. Thank you very much for listening to that one. If you enjoyed it and you want the full instant match reaction, we do one of these after every single game. Go to theredmentv.com. Make sure that you sign up. You get your free month. You get to enjoy a whole host of fantastic content in your native podcast app. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.